Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey Podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm Bruce McCurdy, flying solo tonight. Our usual host, David Staples, is off in Vermilion, Alberta, coaching a hockey tournament. David's been doing yeoman service, head coaching two different teams in minor hockey this season. And last time I checked, he wrote three blog posts in the last 2 days. And I think he's got a day job in there somewhere, too, that probably takes up a bit of his time. So, anyway, he's not available tonight. I'm available late, having kind of split this game. So I watched the first half of it live, and then I had a concert. So I went out, and when I came back, I knew the score, and I had some of the stats, so I kind of watched the second half of the game very differently than the first. So in one sense, just give me sort of two eyes on this game, if you will. And another, don't expect a lot of continuity in the podcast because I didn't experience it. But I do want to keep the continuity going of us doing a podcast after every game. So I'll give it my best shot tonight, and hopefully we'll post it, if not later tonight, then first thing Sunday morning. As mentioned, David's pretty busy. Anyway, I'm going to go back to our usual format. Two good things, two bad things, two numbers. So the good, the bad, and the numbers. So the first good thing is I'm going to go all macro on you and say how good Edmonton looked in this game. Now, granted, they were playing against a struggling home team in Detroit Red Wings. First time in quite some time the Oilers played a team below 500 in the standings, and there was a considerable noticeable gap between the two teams, and Edmonton largely dominated this game, but not because Detroit isn't that good, but because of how well Edmonton played for the most part. The score is deceptive in this game, deceptively close. The Oilers were skating well, they were moving the puck, they were moving their legs in both directions, cutting off winning puck battles, and in general being the superior squad of the two. And lovely to watch. Man, it was time that game was flowing just beautifully, and Edmonton was either dominating on the cycle or they were pouring over the blue line on the rush. And when the puck came the other way, they were breaking up plays and getting the puck moving north again. So That part was pretty fun to watch. It was kind of frustrating that it stayed close, but even with the weird goal, the weird goals that Detroit scored, the weird one they got on the line drive in the minute and a half to go, they didn't come close again after that. Edmonton just shut her down the stretch, and more power to them. They looked like a team that was intent on closing the game out, and that's exactly what they did. So my second good thing is kind of further to the first good thing, and that is how good is Adam Klefbom, there we go, Oscar Klefbom and Adam Larson look as a first pairing right now, as a first caliber pairing to my eyes. They're really starting to show that the Oilers got two real solid defensemen there. And tonight they were all over the ice, both of them. They had basically identical stat lines of each had one assist, each was plus three, each was on for all four Edmonton goals, and was only against the really weird one off the end boards that they were on against. The other two goals were scored against the Nurse Russell pairing. So 4-1 was the score line during Edmonton's during their time on the ice, which was about 21 minutes at even strength. And at that time, Edmonton attempted 29 shots to just 14 for Detroit. The puck was just going back and back into the Detroit end. And Adam Larson was skating like a frisky cold out there. I'm not sure I've ever seen him skate better. Still a little bit, he's a bit sort of awkward on the pivots and stuff, but his four-way skating, even sort of the sideways stuff, He was moving with confidence and moving the puck with confidence. He made a beautiful, beautiful cross-ice pass that led to Chiasson, Alex Chiasson's goal that made it 2-1, put the Oilers ahead to stay early in the second period. So, but winning battles, and I mean, the shift he played on the penalty kill with about 4 minutes to play in the third period, where he blocked, by Kevin Quinn's call, three different shots. He only got credit with two on the game, so I guess they didn't see it quite the same way, but that's what it looked like. And after he blocked the third one, he collapsed to the net front, and he collapsed over the puck and protected a dangerous loose rebound until it was able to be cleared away, and just strong, solid, reliable defending. Really liking what I'm seeing out of Adam Klefbom, did I say, or is it Oscar Larson? Anyway, that guy, both guys, just carrying the mail big time. Tonight they played in total 24-57 for Klefbom, 23-43 for Larson. That's big minutes for both guys. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about two bad things, and that's bit of a challenge. The one is easy, the weird goals against, and really all three Detroit goals were kind of funky. I thought Edmonton scored four pretty goals, and not from your usual sources either, in that Kajula got another one, Chiasson got another one. I guess they're becoming usual sources, but and then Kyle Brodziak with his first two of the season. So depth scoring again that they've been starting to get lately, and it's good to see. Anyway, Detroit, I would say, make the argument Edmonton scored the four prettiest goals in the game, and Detroit, they had some kind of magic chisel that was creating weird holes in Mikko Koskinen, and somehow the puck would chisel its way through the hole and into the net. And the first shot, I still don't know how they scored on that one. Like, it looked like he had the complete net front covered, and somehow on a third opportunity, there was a shot that somehow got between his arm and body, I think. The second goal in the last minute of the second period was a killer. The Oilers had dominated the period, taking a two-goal lead, and it was a really cheesy. Like, Koskinen made the save. The puck hit the end boards, bounced right back into his skate, off his skate, and into the net while he was thinking the puck had gone into the corner, I think, and was looking around a track where his opponents were, and there was a darn puck flipping him going in. And then the third one was a high rebound that popped in the air, and it was golfed from about 2 feet above the ice through some other unapparent hole in Koskinen. So it was a weird night for him. He also, to his credit, in a one-goal game, he made what may well be the save of the season to this point with his glove earlier in the second period. And a couple other nice stops. And honestly, the goals, I'm not sure if it's, I mean, it was like the other night, nothing was going to beat him. And tonight, there was just weird stuff that was going to beat him, but it didn't. And it was, fortunately, one less than went in the net at the other end, and the Oilers did come away with a deserved win. The other bad, I'm going to cheat here, because I don't have a lot bad to say about the Oilers tonight. So I'm going to say how bad the Oilers made Detroit look on their new mini version of The Shift. And this season is the 10-year anniversary of one of the most famous shifts in Oilers history. Where Detroit Red Wings at Detroit in the second period, when they had the near bench and the Oilers the far one, kept the play in motion for 3 minutes and 45 seconds straight while poor Oilers defenseman Jason Strudwick and Taylor Chorney could never get off. And it was a masterwork of its sort in terms of second period zone pressure, where the short change was used to advantage. Anyway, tonight that was the Oilers, and the shift only lasted about a minute, because it only needed to last a minute, because unlike Detroit and their shift, the Oilers actually scored and put this one to bed after about a minute. And the first half minute was just a normal cycle, and then RNH got knocked down in the corner, And the Oilers managed to retain possession of the puck. And the only time it left Detroit's zone was when Connor McDavid deliberately passed it to himself outside the blue line, went to get the puck. And while he was sort of resetting, Koskinen was coming off. I think Kajula went off at that point. And out came Draisaitl and the goal scorer, Chiasson. And back they went into the zone and cycled the puck. Pass, 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 pass. Good pass. Puck recovery. Win the battle. Two more good passes, Larson to McDavid to Alex Chiasson, and wouldn't you know, a right-hand shot on the left circle with a man advantage. There's something to that theory, you know, because Alex Chiasson just banged that puck home before the goalie could get across. And I'm starting to think he's making a case for the first power play unit net front presence, Alex Chiasson, because he's doing so many things well, and his stick is on fire. He's scoring, and just playing solid hockey, really, in all three zones. So there, how's that for bad? Now, I mean, like I say, it's hard to say too much bad on this night that the Oilers won their fifth consecutive road game. Had to get that in there. That's a nice run in any season for any team. So the numbers, I got two here. Well, I got several, but I'm going to put them in two categories. Team possession numbers. The Oilers just carried the play in this one, and the numbers back up what the eye showed. Possession stats, 57 shot attempts to 34 at even strength. 36 shots on goal to 20. 31 scoring chances to 17, and 12 high danger scoring chances to 7. That's all courtesy of Natural Stat Trick, an essential stat sort for geeks like me. And it was... 4-3 is actually the closest ratio of anything on there. And so that is how the Oilers actually won this game, with a PDO of just 980, meaning that they outshot the Red Wings by a bigger ratio than they outscored them. But they had such a big edge in shots. Usually the team with the better shooting percentage wins most games. But when the shots are 42-26 overall, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. So, now the other numbers are along the same vein, possession numbers, but these are for the individual Oilers, 5-on-5. And the simple fact of the matter is that 18 out of 18 Oilers were on for more shots by Edmonton than by Detroit. And that is a sure sign of one team basically dominating a game, that no matter which line they have on the ice, none of them is getting outplayed, or at least, playing too much of the time in their own end of the ice. They've got the puck going in the right direction, and the Oilers had four lines and three pairings that you could say that about tonight. There's not much more you'd want to ask of a team. Maybe if there's one thing you did want to ask, is that all those guys be involved somehow in the offense. And in fact, they were. All 18 skaters had at least one shot on net in this game, which is something you don't see all that often over the course of the season. And really, it was a game where all the skaters were skating, and you know, there was the defensive game was mostly solid with a couple of weird exceptions. And guys like, I mean, Leon Draisaitl, I don't think I've seen him skate better all year, and centering a dominating second line that outshot the Wings 12-4, even as they didn't get any points, or at least Leon didn't. Of course, Chiasson did on that semi line change during the 6-on-5, but it was a night where they got two more goals from the right wingers, one from the fourth, two from the fourth line, and that was enough to pull off a pretty convincing win as one goal games go. So. It's a night where the Oilers will say, well, you're playing a better team. The Oilers were the better team. They should beat a team like Detroit, but you still got to play the games. And the NHL, lots of nasty surprises happen in those games. So you win in the other team's barn. I don't care who it is. You take the 2 points and you say, job well done. So on to the next, and we will... have a podcast after the game Monday evening in Washington against the Stanley Cup champs. Thanks for listening, everyone, And in the meantime, and in between time, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.